Welcome to the world of Pokemakers.
I'm Professor Fierce.
And I'm Professor Fierce.
But if that's too confusing, you can call us
JD
and Alex.
For some people, Pokemon are pets.
Others use them for battles.
We're here to create all new Pokemon
and a world for them to inhabit.
Last time we created Idoliata, an artist inspired by Artemisia.
Artemisia Gentileschi.
The theme of her contest involves human-shaped Pokemon, Pokemon who can serve as models for her art. The minigame you play alongside that involves creating a painting of them.
We also made a Pokemon, Pepeto, which evolves into Verrocchio, based on Pinocchio. It's a little wooden boy that turns into...
a real boy!
Yeah!
Arguably.
Grass ghost to normal ghost.
Turns into a normal little guy.
A normal little guy.
Also, last time, I was sick.
And this time, I'm sick.
Yay!
Sharing is caring.
So maybe I'll end up doing a little bit more talking this time as we continue our work on building new Rentian cities over in the town map. When we talked about this before, we had both looked at more cities than we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
We had more ideas. And I think the biggest one that was next on a list to talk about was Bologna.
Yes.
So let's get to that. In my initial reading, one of the big things that I thought for Bologna would have been making it a food city. It is a major food city in the world. And obviously, it's not the home of pizza, like Napoli, but it's got a lot of other food, such as, you know, Bolognese.
Bolognese, bologna.
Or Bologna to anyone who's not American.
A lot of cured meats, actually, in general.
Yeah. It's huge, but you had other thoughts in that regard.
Well, because I felt like Napoli was more fitting, because pizza is a little bit more iconic, and we had a pizza Pokemon, and if we're going to have a quote-unquote food city, I think it should be that one.
Mm-hmm.
And also, Bologna hosts the oldest university in the world.
One thing I personally noted when reading about Bologna is the aesthetic. It's just got a very red look to it. The buildings in that city are very red, which is such a great visual cue for this game. You go back to classic Pokemon games, where the cities were just named after a color.
Yeah.
And like the main aesthetic each city had was the Game Boy color changes a slightly different shade when you enter that city.
Yeah.
Old school classic Pokemon.
Yeah. Bologna has a lot of brickwork, that classic rustic brick red in a lot of its architecture.
Mm-hmm.
Bologna is also well known for its porticos, which are covered walkways essentially that are built into buildings. That's a fun aesthetic thing to throw in. I think it has the longest one in Italy. Bologna also has 20 medieval towers that are still up and functioning. And then another thing I was thinking about with Bologna is because of its university and the higher education, I'm thinking that it might be attached to our Pompeii city. Because we were thinking, we weren't sure if we wanted to do Pompeii by itself or attach it somewhere else. I think it would make sense for Pompeii to be just outside of the city, outside of Bologna, and attached to it.
Oh, that means Bologna can have a museum focused around volcanoes in Pokemon. There can be
a part
of this museum talking about the eruption of Cinnabar Island that destroyed the city there. And
absolutely.
Yeah, comparing Cinnabar to this location.
The red aesthetic really leans into that too.
Yeah.
And then you've got Pompeii just outside of it. That's like lava rock.
Yeah.
That
way Pompeii can be not a city area, so it can still have like wild Pokemon spawning even around these touristy dig site areas.
Yeah.
Much to Giada's chagrin.
Yeah.
I still want to give a specific name to the ancient city.
Oh, yeah.
And the area of Pompeii.
Absolutely. They are different places.
Yes.
This was the last one that I had any name concepts.
Okay, great.
Arpeggio.
Okay.
Which is like a scales thing.
Yep.
To me, personally, arpeggio reminds me of doing scales, so like practicing, learning, getting better, and I feel like that goes hand in hand with the sort of university feel.
Interesting. First sentence here on Wikipedia, an arpeggio is a type of broken chord. And I'm not familiar with the term broken chord, but I hear that and I think, wow, what a great basis for a destroyed city like Pompeii. But you were suggesting it for the Bologna name, not the
It could go
Pompeii
either
name.
Way.
Okay.
I think because they're hand in hand together, I think that name would apply to either.
Well, I guess we find another that could work for either one of them, and then we can say, okay, an arpeggio goes to the other. Acciaccatura, or acciacciatura, I'm not sure, literally means crunching.
Oh.
Comes from the Italian verb acciacciare, to crush. In the 18th century, it was an ornament applied to any of the main notes of arpeggiated chords.
Oh.
Okay.
I'm feeling that's more of the Pompeii.
That definitely feels a bit more Pompeii.
Having been crunched.
Yeah. A little bit crunched.
A little bit crunched.
Bologna's etymology, once you get past the etymology of the food being the city, Seems to be pretty simple. From the Celtic word for settlement. Compare Gaulish, bona. It's just another one that's like, this is town. The city of Townsville.
Yeah, Pompeii seems to be coming from Oscan word for five. The number five.
Oscan, an extinct Italic language of southern Italy. Okay, number five. That's interesting.
Five.
Well, that's another great visual cue to draw.
Five.
Make it a pentagonal or star-shaped city.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, we can draw on that, but we could also potentially change that to English, Italian, or Latin for five.
Yeah.
Quinn could be a good word to draw on for a city name. This is the Pompeii. This is before Italian would even have been a thing.
Mm.
Latin makes more sense to draw on here. Quinquedora. That basically just means five town.
Yeah, which is what Pompeii essentially would mean.
Yeah.
The only other issue that I have with this is that Pompeii is such a short, fun word.
Maybe just half of the quinque. Quintura.
Quintura?
Quintura.
Okay. What if we put two I's in it?
Quintura. Yeah, two I's works great. Quintura.
Quintura, but with two I's in it.
Yeah.
Just a little nod to Pompeii.
Yeah, great.
I like that.
Yeah.
I'm cool with that.
Okay, and then combining Arpeggio with Bologna, Arpona.
Arpona, yeah.
Let's go to a city that is very different, I think, than a lot of cities we're going to talk about. Let's talk about Turin.
Okay.
Another major city.
Yeah.
I think for many people, the first thing they think of when they hear Turin would be the Shroud of Turin.
Sure.
Turin feels quite different. It's a very flat city.
Yeah.
And not as much very old architecture.
Yeah.
So I think this can be a more modern city for us. Many of our cities will feel very old.
Yeah.
With some modern touches. This can be a much more modern city. Not entirely.
I like that.
Because one of the big things I noted about Turin is that it's got a lot of car manufacturers. And Italy is known for its car manufacturers.
Oh yeah, you get your Ferraris, Maseratis.
Ferrari, Maserati, Lamborghini.
Mm-hmm.
Big name, especially sports cars.
Yeah, like very fancy sports cars.
Yes. The aesthetically pleasing cars as well, of course.
Yeah. So this is like a sleek city.
Yeah.
This is like,
you know, Rev of Room might not quite fit in here.
If you look at like a picture of Turin, the city is mostly all about the same height, and there's this one tower, and obviously that's an older tower that's been there for a long time, but I think it would be fun to modernize it and maybe make it a glass tower.
Ooh.
Like something that looks really sleek and modern to really lean into. This town has a very different aesthetic.
Yeah, sure. Cars are a known thing in the Pokemon world, even if we don't tend to see them. There was a truck sprite in the very first game.
Yeah.
And of course, who can forget that time that Team Skull bullied a bus stop? We're playing with an older protagonist than Pokemon games have typically had in the past. Part of me thinks we could even potentially replace the bike with a car, which would help work around the party needing a singular form of faster transport than just all walking around.
Yeah.
But I don't think that quite feels right for this adventuring, exploring the wilderness kind of game. I thought a lot about how we do sped up travel in this game because of the companions. Like, we can't just recreate something one-to-one that's been in the past. But I think we just play into following Pokemon and just expand on that.
Mm.
And I think Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee allowed you to ride on a Pokemon from your party.
Mm.
So we just say, yeah, you're riding a Pokemon from your party, and make sure that all the companions have a suitable Pokemon from their party to ride.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you just ride a Pokemon like that.
Okay.
And it allows you to build this up gradually throughout the game, because at the beginning of the game, you just won't have a Pokemon big enough to physically ride on.
Yeah.
Until you reach somewhere like this area of the game. Mm. So maybe Turin is where you unlock the ability to ride on a Pokemon by talking to NPCs who suggest the idea of cars to you, and someone else points out maybe that's not right for you. Maybe it's a lab assistant or a museum assistant of some kind.
Yeah.
And then they can even give you a Cyclizar and say, this is popular as a ride Pokemon in
Paldea.
If you don't have something else, maybe try riding on this. So then you've got a Pokemon guaranteed as a gift Pokemon that is suitable.
I like that, yeah.
And then again, they can make sure your companions have something if they don't otherwise.
Yeah, every companion has on their team something that's rideable.
Yeah. Back to Turin.
Yes.
Cars. Maybe the city has a museum that is about other forms of transportation in the Pokemon world besides the boats we've seen previously.
Yeah.
A more simple, modern aesthetic.
Mm-hmm.
Big focus on vehicles and transportation.
Yeah, cool.
Turin, from Italian Torino, from the Roman name Latin Augusta Torinorum, ultimately from the name of the Torini tribe, connection to Latin Taurus, bull. Ooh, interesting. So it ultimately comes back to the same etymology as Taurus, which means there's definitely a car company here that has a Taurus as a mascot.
Yeah, yeah.
Perfect there. You can just see the head of a Taurus as like a simple car logo.
Mm-hmm. So I'm looking for musical terms that mean fast.
Or just the speed of music in general.
Mm-hmm.
Tempo.
Tempo.
The tempo of music.
Tempo in Turin.
Torino. Torempo?
Torempo.
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 That plays into the idea of it being a modern city. Living the fast life.
Yeah.
Sweet. Yeah. Yeah.
This is your city that never sleeps.
Yeah. There's some business folks walking around with suits and gotta go, gotta work. Blah, 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 blah. Time is money. I'm going to come to Verona next. Perhaps best known to English-speaking audiences as the setting of multiple Shakespeare plays.
Yeah.
Obviously, Two Gentlemen of Verona, but also Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah.
It is not known if Shakespeare ever went to Italy, let alone Verona.
There is no historical proof that he did.
Clearly, he knew at least the name and liked the sound of it. Because of things like that, it is a big tourist city.
Yeah.
Including, there is a location that is Juliet's Window that is just a spot you can go and visit, theoretically, which seems ridiculous.
Yeah.
I think many modern films of Romeo and Juliet do recreate the look of that location as closely as they can.
Yeah.
Even without that, though, this is a big city for theatrical things, both theatre itself, opera, music, lots of stuff going on. So I think we really play on that and make this very much a performance city.
I like that, yeah.
So, you know, this one's definitely got its own contest magnifico.
Yeah, particularly in contrast to Turin, I think the aesthetics of this city are especially old, are especially medieval.
Yes, fairy tale like.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
It just plays into those aesthetics of the princess locked away in the tower.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Color-wise, playing into that fairy tale idea. Some pastels, like very pink, I think.
Yeah.
Like a soft pink.
I think that would be fun, yeah.
Would be like a major color here.
I'm picturing a lot of vines growing up walls.
Oh, absolutely, and... yes. A pastel pink and then the dark green coming from that flora.
Yeah.
Okay, I've got a couple thoughts here.
Mm-hmm.
Playing into that soft pastel aesthetic,
mm-hmm.
drawing on the Italian musical terminology for soft.
Is it piano?
It's piano.
That's the exact word I was going to suggest. This is incredible. Thank you.
Have
I was...
you heard this little-known Italian music terminology, piano?
So I was about to bring up, can this be piano? Soft. And I was like, is that silly? Is that too silly?
It's definitely on the table to use.
I'm glad that you also thought the same one. I think that means that we have to use it.
I want to at least share my other thoughts.
Okay.
If we're going for a direct instrument, the feel there, somewhat harp-like, very melodic viola, which has got similar sounds.
It does, yeah.
So that could be something. Or, again, playing into the idea of the fairy tales.
Mm-hmm.
Just going into fantasy. Fantasia.
Yeah.
It's itself.
Ooh, Fantasia is also very good.
Right?
Is the character in Twelfth Night named Viola? Or is that just she's the man?
No, she is Viola. Do you know how I know this? Because Viola is also one of the companion characters in Cassette Beasts.
Oh!
Specifically, the same Viola from Twelfth Night. It is literally the character plucked from the Shakespeare play.
Excellent. Viola, I think, is the one that I'm leaning towards here to lean into that Shakespeare reference.
Yeah. Viola Verona. A Celtic name, Vernamago, or Vernamajo maybe, from Proto-Celtic, meaning alder field. A field of alder.
Hmm.
Huh.
Like the tree?
Yeah. I mean, Verno is just almost nature itself, right? Verdant.
Green.
Yeah. Which plays into the very plants-like nature we got there, because then the field part that is more of a location is completely dropped from the modern name.
Yeah.
Verona, Vernomago. Replace the L in Viola with the N from Verona.
Viona.
Viona.
I do like Viona.
All right, there's one more city that we have specifically talked about in the podcast so far to place Anna's gym there when we had Deep Blue Ink on. We've got to talk about Pisa.
Yes.
Pisa is fascinating. If not for the Leaning Tower, it would be such a nothing city.
Yeah.
Not nothing, but it's like the 60th biggest city in Italy or something. There are so many other cities that should jump ahead of it, but this tower literally puts it on the map.
Yeah.
And has one of the most visually iconic images of Italy.
It's got other historical buildings and stuff.
Absolutely.
But like, so does a lot of Italy.
So does pretty much all of Italy.
Yeah.
It's just, this is a very small one that is known because of its tower.
It's kind of fallen over.
And it's such a cool tower, the way it's built. So it was built on just not a sturdy enough foundation, obviously.
Yeah.
And as they started building it, it started tilting as they were building it.
Mm.
Throughout centuries, they were just forced to stop building it several times.
Yeah.
It took hundreds of years to build this thing.
Yeah.
And that's what enabled them to build it. If they kept going, it would have collapsed before they could finish it. But it gave the time for the foundation to settle, and then they overcorrected at certain points and it led the other way.
Oh.
As they tried to weigh it down. At one point, they excavated around the base that had sunken too far in to expose the base.
Uh-huh.
Despite the fact that that base would have been making it more stable, but they wanted to expose that. So much work has been put into maintaining this now.
Yeah.
The tower was closed to the public in January 1990, not reopening until 2001.
Oh, wow.
This work was done in our lifetimes.
Yeah.
They declared the tower stable for at least another 300 years.
Oh, wow.
And the way they did that, they excavated under the tower again, moving some of its foundations excavation one cubic foot at a time.
That's so much work.
In order to maintain this tower, because it's it is so iconic.
Yeah, the angle that it's at. Oh yeah, they're making money from so much tourism, yeah.
When you think about Pisa, what's the second thing you think of?
I don't.
You don't?
You don't.
But obviously, through building this city with Harry, we made it into a very maths-focused city.
Yes.
And there's other aspects to draw on. Fibonacci was from Pisa.
Yeah, so this has a math museum.
Mm-hmm.
I do think it would also be kind of funny if the rest of this town is just very normal, very boring, aside from the museum. It's just a basic town.
Or do we draw on the tower and make it so that actually the whole city kind of has this off-kilter aesthetic? Everything is a little bit...
Anna would go insane.
She kind of hates it, but also she's the one who puts in the work to calculate how to preserve it.
She likes the parallels, things being lined up. So if the whole city is off-kilter...
Well, but that's the thing, it's not all off-kilter in the same way. Some things lean in different directions and some things are slightly wrong in different ways.
Oh no.
Everything is just slightly wrong.
Oh no.
And she's like, personally, I hate it, but I will preserve the beauty of my city. Etymology for Pisa is very simple. Comes from Etruscan and means mouth. Oh. It's at the mouth of the Arno River.
Looking at some musical terms, a couple things that have jumped out to me. Mercato, meaning marked or accented. glissando, which is a continuous slide from one note to another. You know, that kind of like moving to the side. There's also pizzicato, which is plucked with the finger rather than bowed for like a violin.
Or alto for high.
Ooh.
Tower. Should probably save that for a mountain.
Yes.
City. Soprano, upper. Well, the soprano for upper is the highest vocal range. So maybe we should save that for the mountain.
Sure.
And then use alto here, second highest. Alza or pito.
I like pito.
And this is just one of our smallest cities in the game, really.
I think Poco is also little. It's got a bunch of things. It's little, it's small, it's pito.
Okay, I think we'll call it there for today on those cities. We'll definitely have at least one more part making more cities. But for now, it's time for Who's That Pokemon? Okay, so the Pokemon I've got to bring for you today is one that maybe I should have done the last time we did cities, but really, I want to bring it up now based on the fact that we've just talked about, it's not fast travel, what's the word there? Speed travel. We talked about riding on Pokemon as mode of fast transportation. And inspired by the fact that we're just saying that rather than having a specific mount or bike, you just ride a Pokemon from your party. This Pokemon was my idea for what would be the surf mechanic for the game, and the idea would have been them being a companion who has this Pokemon. But realizing that it's better to just be able to move around without needing something specific like that, I want to talk about it now. But it would have really fit in well last time because it's very much inspired by Venice, of course. It's also inspired by the Tinkertink line of Pokemon that are just little guys with tools. But it's a two-stage line inspired by Venice's affiliation with boats. The first stage of the line would be a gondolier.
Yeah.
And would have a little gondola that it could ferry you around in.
Yeah, it's got a big old stick and he's got a big old boat.
The line of the whole is also very much inspired by the Venetian arsenal and their ability to build an entire ship in a single day.
Yeah.
Because just it wouldn't be practical just have a guy in a boat anywhere but the sea.
Yeah, so it's a little guy that builds a boat.
It's a little guy that builds a boat in seconds. With a cartoon cloud effect around it as it's like exactly jumping around.
That's exactly how I pictured it.
And then every time you would call it out to go into the water, it just quickly builds you a boat to ferry you around in.
Cute.
The first stage builds a gondola and ferries you around in that. And the second stage, it builds a full-on Venetian ship.
Nice.
A schooner or a galley or whatever. Yeah. Some kind of big sailboat for sailing the seas.
Nice. That's cool. That's fun.
So maybe you don't need to have this Pokemon, but maybe this Pokemon then gives you a unique situation where your whole party rides in a single boat with it.
Sure, yeah.
Rather than needing an individual Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
Because I guess if it's just an individual Pokemon, then everyone would need a Pokemon they could ride in the water as well as on land, which I hadn't quite thought about.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah. But yeah, some kind of little guy that builds boats is the Pokemon.
I know you said Tinkaton as a reference point, but I'm also picturing Gimmighoul in stature. Very small.
That's so small.
He's little.
That's so little.
He's little.
He's like, you can almost can't see him. How's he gonna hold a big stick?
No, like this big.
That's not how big Gimmighoul is.
That's how big I'm picking.
So not like Gimmighoul in stature.
Fair enough.
More like Tinkertink in stature.
Okay, well, very very small little guy.
Oh, maybe, yeah, for sure.
Maybe not that small, yeah. But like...
And again, gets a little bit bigger as it evolves. Yeah. Again, Tinker Ton is still quite small.
Yeah.
And that's part of the comedy of it. Like, the idea of, like, this Pokemon that would be at the wheel of the ship, essentially.
Yeah,
in the evolve stage. Definitely gets a Hatwin evolving. Look, Captain Hat.
Yes, absolutely.
I've had this idea for so long, they just weren't quite sure how to implement it. Because I never wanted it to be that surfing as a mechanic was something you could only do with a specific companion.
Yeah.
So I wasn't quite sure how to implement it. Maybe it's a gift Pokemon in Crushorso. Maybe someone gives you the first stage of this line as a way to ferry yourself around if you don't have a surfing Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
You basically never would see them without a boat, at least once they're at water. Do you say it's two forms and like it just has a different form on the water? One with a boat and one without?
I guess.
Because if you're battling on land as well, does it build a boat just for the battle? Probably not.
Yeah, I think it probably is a land form and water form, yeah.
So like it probably doesn't have a mechanical difference because that would get annoying for competitive battling.
Yeah, it's just one of those aesthetic differences.
Yeah. Either way, in the first stage in particular, it can still have the big stick. Is there a name for the big stick? It's typically propelled by a gondolier who uses a rowing oar. Just oar.
Sure.
But it has a particular oar.
So what does this guy look like?
I don't know.
Stripes is what this guy looks like.
Okay, cool. Yep.
I've googled gondolier. There is sort of an agreed upon uniform. They don't necessarily always wear that. Striped shirt, kind of a fabric belt, the hat.
The boater. So, it's a boater.
The boater hat.
Yeah. If we talk about the evolved stage having a captain hat, the first stage still has the boater.
Yeah, so squared off head, shaped like a boater, something reminiscent of neckerchief.
Yeah.
Potentially something tied around the waist, maybe it's a little tail. Human gondoliers fashion themselves after the Pokemon rather than the other way around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Size-wise and proportion-wise, I think we draw very much on the Tinker Ton line.
Mm-hmm.
Almost to the point that we could even have a Pokedex line talking about this. There are some theories this is a convergent evolution of the Tinker Ton line.
Yeah.
But yeah, very different colours with the stripes. Just quite a different face, really. Like, it's got more of a suave look to it. Maybe it's not quite those same proportions. Maybe it's a bit slimmer and a bit taller. Slightly.
Yeah.
At least when it evolved.
Maybe slightly Dorito-shaped. Wider shoulders. Because it's gotta have those arms.
Yeah.
Strong arms to move the boat.
Yeah. Maybe a little bit.
Just a little.
And you nailed down the colors.
Did I even mention colors?
Well, the white and blue stripes.
Yeah. And like red accents.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But just rather than just being a shirt, the white and blue stripes kind of take over the whole thing.
Yeah.
When it evolves, it's less of the stripe pattern. It's the same colors, but rearranged. The blue is more of a coat.
Yes.
Oh, in fact, you know what? It actually has a coat. It like visually seems to be wearing a coat that flows a little bit.
Yeah.
Probably flows to the point that if it wasn't constantly billowing in the imaginary wind, it would be too long for it. So the coat is always billowing behind it.
Okay, yeah. Not like actual coat, but like a fur-ish.
I mean, we're not going to say it's fur specifically, but
it's part of
it. It's part of it, yes. Yeah. It's one of those things about Pokemon where you're like, is that fur or flesh?
Don't worry about it.
And if you think about it, it's terrible.
Yeah.
No matter what the answer is, it's going to be bad.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to know the texture of Jigglypuff, Detective Pikachu. So I think it's got more of a, it's got a very cocky grin, playing into some of those like pirate tropes almost. It's not a pirate, this Pokemon.
Yeah.
The sea captain, Seahawk.
Not a pirate, but pirate vibe.
Not the Seattle Seahawks.
Mustache.
Seahawk from She-Ra. Blue coat over white shirt.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I kind of feel like maybe there is some kind of mustache.
I like that.
It's probably just a marking on the face.
Yeah.
And I think both stages have it. It gets bushier when it evolves or bigger when it evolves.
Yeah, more of like a...
Yeah, this is Seahawk the Pokemon. You even mentioned the neck thing.
This is a Seahawk or a Pokemon.
When it's evolved, but it's not got the boat, is it holding something? It's got the oar before it evolves. Does it have something it would hold if it's not steering the ship currently? It's just holding a wheel?
It's just holding the ship. It's not attached to anything, but it's the full wheel, and it'll bash you over the head with it. It's like a shield in front of it.
That's interesting. That's a fun concept. The other thought would be just like it holds a telescope.
That's also fun.
Pirate captain. That does work to some extent, like as a similar shaped item to hold.
Sure.
Not necessarily in size, but...
When it has a boat. Does it hold the wheel, or does it hold something else?
I think it holds the wheel then, yeah.
Yeah.
But like, so... that's part of the boat itself.
Mm.
So it doesn't feel quite the same as the oar.
You know what else is simmering in the back of my head is something else that's kind of similar. Ryuji's persona. Persona 5. Ryuji's persona is on a ship. It's a very different vibe. It's not a little guy. He's a big, powerful Stan.
Oh, that's interesting because obviously he's significantly larger than his ship.
Yes.
Oh. It's a Goldengo situation. Goldengo that when it moves, rides around on its golden surfboard skateboard
thing. Why does it do that?
I don't know. I love it. But... That's what this Pokemon does. When it moves normally, summons a tiny little boat that it stands on.
And like surfs across the land or water.
But when it's at sea, it's got its bigger boat. Because you know, I'm picturing the party sailing in this boat, so I haven't pictured a mini version of it.
Yeah, it's
but there's no reason why it couldn't. It would take a split second to build it.
Yeah.
I think we've got the point across here.
Yeah.
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 Let's name these. I mean, you've got words to use. Gondolier, gondola, and arsenal are two great words to draw on for the different stages.
Or wheel.
Maybe we, instead of gondola, we draw on the water. Canal. Canali. Like an ally.
Ooh.
He's your little friend.
Yeah.
He's your little ally.
Yeah. Candali?
Why the D?
I don't know. Gondolier.
Boring one letter from a different word seems a bit odd.
Mm.
Unless it's gondali.
Gondali. I like that better.
Fair enough.
I like the dally. And dilly dally.
Well, but it's ally. Gondali.
Gondali.
Okay. Do we keep the ally then, and it's arsenali?
Arsenali. Yeah, that's not bad. Yeah, that works great.
Arsenali.
Oh, types.
Oh, yeah. Well, water.
Yeah. Straight water?
There's the argument for fairy, like the Tinkertinkline, because they are just little guys, but also fighting.
Yeah.
I think fighting, but also when I was describing the captain and the billowing coat, did think about wind.
Oh.
Especially again, if it's a sailboat on the evolution.
Yeah, but again, that would be water to water wind.
Yeah, that's definitely would be mono water to water
wind.
I like
that.
Yeah?
I think that's cool.
Reckless is an ability that comes to mind for crashing the ship into things.
Yeah.
Wave Crash is a new move that came out in Legends Arceus that would be a great one there.
Yeah.
Reckless powers up moves that have recoil damage to do more damage.
Nice.
Wave Crash is one such move.
Nice.
Yeah. Speed Boost also feels like it could be appropriate here.
Yeah.
For the boat getting faster.
Yeah, I think so.
Maybe. Maybe a hidden ability. Also, Reckless feels like a good ability for Arsenali, but not necessarily for Gondali.
Yeah, yeah. Swift Swim?
Yeah, I mean, if I'm talking about Speed Boost,
yeah.
Because this is a Pokemon that goes fast in water, what would be an ability it would theoretically have that becomes Reckless?
Technician.
Honestly, yeah. Technician feels kind of fitting for the...
Building a boat.
Building the thing quickly.
Give it Wind Rider.
Oh! Yeah! Which one is Wind Rider?
Wind Power.
Yeah.
Boost the Pokemon's attack stat if Tailwind takes effect, or if the Pokemon is hit by a wind move.
Yeah.
The Pokemon also takes no damage from wind moves.
Wind Power...
is electric type, yeah.
Yeah, that is very much the Kilowattrol ability.
Yes.
Wants to power up electric moves. Yeah, it definitely doesn't feel as appropriate, but Wind Rider definitely does. Swift Swim for both. Both Wind Rider, Technician into Reckless. Very much a movement-based Pokemon.
Yeah.
That way we can still have a signature move that is a variant of Gigaton Hammer without necessarily stepping on the toes of something like Wave Crash, which it would then have specifically if it's got Reckless.
Yeah.
But wouldn't want otherwise.
Yeah.
Yeah. So today, we've put some cities on the map. We have Arpona, connected to Quindora, Torampo, Viona, and Pito. Some lovely Italian-sounding names.
We've also made some Pokemon. Gondali, which evolves into Arsenali. Water to Water Wind, based on Gondoliers.
And the Venetian Arsenal.
Absolutely.
Pokemon that can help you sail the seven seas.
Little boat guys.
Not that many seas, just the ones. The Mediterranean
just
Sea.
Just the Mediterranean.
So thank you for listening to Pokemakers.
And thank you to the Pocket Podcast Network for hosting us.
You can find other cool shows on the network such as
Green Mountain Mysteries,
Steampunks,
and Ghoul Tank.
Our theme music is by Mike Freitag. You can find him on Twitter at Admiral Amara.
You can also find us on Twitter at Pokemakers.
You can also find us both individually. I'm at Codename JD.
And I'm at Pichu, PTCHEW.
Don't forget to check us out in the Pocket Podcast Network community Discord.
Or if you'd prefer, you can send an email to fiercepodcast@gmail.com.
But until next time, gotta make them all.
Pocket Podcast Network. Quality programming right to your pocket.
So, here's what you missed on Loser Like Me.
A musical TV show called Glee aired for 6 seasons, and Christina and Tanner decided to rewatch the whole thing.
It's really wild. Anything goes on this show.
The whole conflict is about a cheerleading coach trying to destroy a glee club.
But it's also about finding your true self and being special.
Well, their teacher's a cuck, and I'm pretty sure his degree fell off the back of a truck.
There's lots of yelling about good representation from the show and the two of us.
And I don't think the writers are always sure what show they're even writing.
Yeah. Tanner gets passionate about Kurt.
Christina gets really upset about incorrect use of Spanish.
Look, it happens. And so many interesting characters don't get the screen time they deserve. Like Tina, Ari, Mike.
So if you want to hear what was going on beyond just the singing and the dancing, check out Leisure Like Me.
It's a podcast where we find the best parts of this show and hold nothing back talking about the worst ones.
You can find us on whatever podcast provider you use.
Or on Twitter @LoserLikeMePod.
And that's what you missed on Glee!